What's the fastest ball sport in the world? Not baseball, not tennis. It is, in fact, the sport of Jailai, spelled J-A-I-A-L-A-I. Originating in the Basque region of Spain and played professionally in the U.S., most notably in the 1980s, Jailai's making an unprecedented comeback. The ball reaches speeds of 150 miles an hour. The action is intense and the danger factor is high. Six-person teams of professional athletes play the sport at the Magic City Fronton in Miami, Florida. I invite you to check out all the action Monday and Tuesday at 5 p.m. and Friday night at 7 p.m. Go to HighlieWorld.com or download the free Jailai app in the App Store. This sport, with its intensity and athleticism, is well worth watching. Check out all the action at HighlieWorld.com. Matches are played similar to tennis, with a player or team required to win two sets to win a match. Each set is played up to 6 points. It's a sport you need to check out. HighlieWorld.com, Monday and Tuesday at 5 p.m., Friday at 7 p.m.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Come on.
Let's ride.
Let's ride, Rich.
Johnson it!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Just add Russ. That's it. That's the ingredient for the cooking. Just add Russ. 100%.
Throws the ball, and it is deflected.
Because a loser of this game is in a world of hurt.
Today's guests, NFL on Fox analyst Mark Schlereth, two-time Super Bowl champion LeSean McCoy, plus owner and CEO of WOW, Women of Wrestling, Jeannie Buss, and David McClain. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's fact. That's true. That's true. Show me on camera so it can be proven. Yes. Yes, it's proof. I'm here. It's the Rich Eisen Show, live from Los Angeles, California, here on the Roku channel, channel 210. For those watching on all Roku devices, Samsung Smart TVs, and Amazon Fire TVs, we say hello to you and thank you for getting us for free. And then you can watch us on the Roku app wherever you want, on any mobile device. The Roku channel's free there. Same at therokuchannel.com. We say hello to our terrestrial radio listeners, thanks to the Westwood One system that's being put together and cobbled together for the Rich Eisen Show listening audience terrestrially. And we appreciate the Cumulus Podcast Network putting this show out every single day, all 3 hours on a podcast form. We say hello to those listening on the Odyssey app, Sirius XM, Radio Sirius 218 XM 202 992 on the app. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show is a neat little backstop if you miss anything over the next 3 hours. But we also re-air right away on channel 210. That's the way we roll on the Roku channel. How are you, Christopher Brockman? Good to see you, sir.
Rich, I have Russell Wilson in fantasy.
Oh, my gosh. Jay Felly, do you want to get up and give him a hug? You want to get up and give him a hug?
Lots
of Raider fan who feels zero,
not doing great.
Zero sympathy for anybody who's got a Bronco. Jeez, offensively. TJ Jefferson, light that candle. How are you over there, sir? What's going on?
The thing is, Broncos fans, don't worry. You have at least till 2028 to figure this whole thing out. So, I mean, look, time is on your side.
Very good.
You've got that going for you, which is nice.
Good. So very, very good.
Let's ride.
Hashtag. No, don't forget the hashtag.
You had a sad let's ride. He's like, Broncos country.
We'll get to that in a second. You know, we're so proud here on the Rich Eisen Show whenever we get an exclusive, and we have one.
We do.
Yeah, man. And this is really special because it's Tom Brady.
Oh,
and anything that Tom Brady does when he does something specifically for us, it's really greatly appreciated.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I know. As you know, he's got that Fox deal coming up. Once ever he's done, he goes in the booth and he becomes an analyst. And but he's already provided his first analysis for us, just exclusively. Tom Brady. This is Tom Brady saying, I mean, thank you for helping get this soundbite, Chris. Yeah, I know you're acting like you don't know what we're doing.
Yeah, no problem.
But this is Tom Brady on Thursday Night Football. On the Colts and Broncos. This is analysis of that game.
I watch a lot of bad football, a lot of, poor quality of football. That's what I see.
Well done, Tom. You got a future.
Nailed it.
Got a future.
Jeez.
Got a future.
Did we really sit through that
last night? Yes, we did. Here we go. Last night's Thursday Night Football, Week 5 kickoff. 7 field goals, 12 punts, 25 third down stops. Defenses got off the field on Thursday night 25 times. 4 interceptions, 6 fumbles. Wait for it. Not a single recovery by a defense.
Wow.
They were all recovered by the fumbling team. And this is the defense. Again, defenses got off the field 25 times on third down last night and sacked quarterbacks 10 times. but zero recoveries of fumbles, despite six of them being put on the ground. Yeah. And wait a minute. This is the best one. I love this one. Russell Wilson, last night, we all know, rough night for Russ, 51-yard pass to Cortland Sutton.
That was awesome.
It was. It was a double catch by his team.
It was.
Cortland Sutton ripped it out of the hands of Montrell Washington. And the reason why there were two Broncos around the ball is because the ref took out one of the Colts defenders.
Poor guy.
That was when the Benny Hill theme really needed to be played. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of bad football.
Damn straight.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Was that dreadful? It was so bad.
How bad was it?
It was so bad, they gave away free prime delivery today to anybody who could prove they watched the whole thing on Amazon last night. It was so bad.
How bad was it?
They called out the poop cart for the whole game.
Boom, boom.
It was so bad.
Rich, how bad was it?
Diehard Broncos fans left the game when it hit overtime. Wait, I'm being told that happened?
Yeah, that was real.
I've been to this stadium multiple times.
That was real.
I have been to the football-loving city of Denver, Colorado. I have lost track. Do they love the Broncos in Denver? I'll answer that question for you. Oh, yeah, they do.
Oh,
they get pissed when you hear Arrowhead's the loudest stadium in all of football when they think it's not even the loudest stadium in the division. Third down, incomplete. The whole business, you hear it. They go crazy. It is, your ears are ringing when it gets that loud in that stadium. It's nuts. And they said, we've had enough of tonight's game.
We out.
They acted like they live in Los Angeles, like there's a 405. They got out of there to beat the traffic.
110. What are we doing? All of it.
I've never seen that. They're like, we've had enough of the game. We're leaving. And kudos to Amazon. They showed them walking out. They showed them walking out inside the stadium, out. And they walked, showed them outside the stadium, walking to the parking lot. Fred Godelli had two shots teed up of these people leaving the game. Al Michaels, he had had enough of the game.
Well, early on. Al was making cracks the whole time.
And Kirk Herbstreit, you know, people are on Twitter like he's a stick in the mud. He's new to the NFL. Last thing he's going to do is show up.
Of course.
I think he'd sat back wisely and let Al handle all that.
Yeah. Smart move, Kirk.
Honestly, I thought when this game was over, I thought Al was going to use the line, do you believe in miracles? One more time.
Yes.
That it was over.
Somebody
that we were through
won.
It. We made it through the rain, to use a Manilow phrase. And I knew it, too. That's the way we do it in this world because we love winners in the NFL. We love winners in the NFL, and I knew whichever team was going to lose this game was going to get savaged by a fan base that sat through it, okay?
Yep.
Savaged. It's a nationally televised game or streamed game, however you want to state it. People were begging for their internet to go down last night sometimes.
No,
that's how bad it was. How bad it was. Okay, so... So
that's funny.
Shout out Coop.
That was Amari Cooper from this very
a week ago today. Right?
Yeah, very, I think.
Almost one week ago, paying attention.
That's funny.
Anybody who's going to lose is going to get savaged to the point where the Colts just, what are we just going to let them off scot-free?
Well, no, they really stunk too.
Oh my God. They were terrible.
They were really
Bernard
bad.
Ryman, the left tackle. How many times can somebody get called for holding in a half? Here's the answer. 3.
Oh, man.
And then there were other penalties by him, and then Matt Ryan had someone in his lap the entire time. I don't know what the hell's happened to this offensive line.
Did you call him an iron deer yesterday?
An iron deer in the front lawn. I mean, and the number of times, and then he was just throwing it right to some Broncos defenders, and you're like, what the hell's happening? And then Russ was like, hold my beer on what are you thinking and what are you doing?
Hold my Subway sandwich.
Hold my Subway sandwich.
Yeah.
It's dangerous.
So here is Russell Wilson, and then this is what, and I'll get to what concerns me most about the Broncos moving forward with Russ and everything else. This was Russell Wilson after the game, after on a 4th-and-1, They throw it with Richard Sherman in the building, and he didn't miss his shot afterwards, did he?
Nope.
So they throw it, and he's in the pocket, and he throws it late, and it's incomplete, and the game is over. And the Colts, despite how terrible they looked and how much the Broncos were dominant on defense, the Colts are the team that walks out with a win. They're at 500 at 2-2-1, and the Broncos are at 2-3. And Russell Wilson, a dreadful night. Two interceptions, one that he threw up for grabs like a punt, and then another one on 3rd and 4 with a 3-point game, and he throws an interception, meaning they can't even kick the field goal to go up by 6 and force a Colts team that couldn't put anything together to go the entire length of the field for a touchdown to win. He cost his team that opportunity. And then the dreadful finish, and this is the way he finished up his press conference, prefaced by some of his comments about his play on the night.
You know, I let the team down tonight. And but the good thing is, one thing I know about myself is I'm going to respond. I don't know any other way. I always believe in myself, always believe in this team, believe in what we can do. Believe what I can do. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. Broncos country.
Now, that's the issue here, is that he's new here. And Seattle fans are very familiar with the Russ you just heard. Take the responsibility on your shoulders. Say, I believe in this team, and I believe in myself and my ability. And then finish this press conference with a rallying cry. It was always go Hawks for all those years.
Go Hawks.
And the number of times he said go Hawks, it was after a win or after a loss that never really alarmed the fan base so significantly that the direction of the franchise was at question. That stuff rings hollow to a new town and a new team potentially. I don't know what is going on in that locker room, but I did see KJ Hamler wide open on that final play and him slam his helmet to the ground like he is on a Hall of Fame trajectory coming into this season in Denver. Not Russell Wilson. 37 career receptions for KJ Hamler, who slams his helmet down. I didn't see every snap of Seahawks football in Russell Wilson's tenure there. A lot of other people may have. You can call me any Seattle fan. Did anybody ever slam their helmet to the turf angry at Russell Wilson or the circumstances that Russell Wilson played a large role in bringing about to show their frustration? Have you ever seen that? I've never seen that.
I can't recall.
I mean, but we don't see
James Palmer. James Palmer. KJ Hamler just all chatty Cathy to James Palmer after the game. I could have walked in. Okay, KJ.
He's not lying, though, Richie.
No, I know he's not lying, but guess what?
Guess what?
KJ Hamler's not getting to the Super Bowl with, what is that, son of Rippon behind him? Mark Rippon's kid? Is that Mark Rippon's kid or nephew or whatever? That ain't happening. And Nathaniel Hackett is not staying a second longer in Denver if Russell Wilson doesn't turn it around. These are facts. And frustration, I get it. I totally understand it because I even said it after that Sunday night game when they struggled to beat San Francisco a couple of weeks ago. I said that after the game that it looked like Tebow time, where they're booing the offense nonstop. But at least at the end of that game in San Francisco, Russ time hit, and he took it over, and he scored, led a touchdown drive to win the game. That just didn't happen last night because he made the mistakes. That interception he threw at the end of the game in regulation is just an absence. And he knows it, too. He admitted after the game he can't do that. But he's not himself. And you have to look at the coach for that. Because you ain't looking at the guy who's got a $245 million contract. That is for sure. And Nathaniel Hackett, I don't know what he can do right now, but nothing is working. He gets criticized in week one, rightfully so, for taking the game out of Russ's hands and putting it on the leg of Brandon McManus. And then now he's getting criticized for taking the ball out of Melvin Gordon's on All-State like hands and putting it in the hands of Russell Wilson on fourth and one. Okay. And he's got to be sitting there going, what do you want from me? You know, I'm calling running plays inside the red zone in Seattle and everybody's fumbling. And now I'm saying, Russell Wilson, let's throw it. Let's ride.
Let's ride.
And it doesn't work. And I go for the win here. And you criticize me for this. I'm like, well, yeah, nothing's working.
A lot of bad football.
And if you want to figure out, like, your decision-making, now you also see, you know, old man Rosberg or old Ross Hadburn or up sitting there in the booth telling him, you know, whatever he's telling him about game management. Last night, the Colts called timeout in overtime because they marched right down in two plays, right? Blown coverage on Jerry Jeudy after a long run by Melvin Gordon, and here we go. Let's ride, Bronco country, inside the red zone, which has been their bugaboo all year.
All year.
The Colts fire off a timeout, and then the Broncos fire off one of their own. Back-to-back timeouts. You got the Colts on their heels to the point where you call timeout. Then you call timeout again to do what? Call that pass play. You need the help of the guy upstairs to tell you how to do that? And you're a fan sitting there thinking, it's 9-9 going into overtime. I'm out of here. And that's where an owner, despite, you know, being new to the game or thinking the commissioner's name is Goodell or whatever, when they see fans just strolling with their feet in the middle of a game when it's going to overtime and the Broncos fans are so diehard, they don't miss this. They drive sometimes from, like, the Dakotas to come in. People drive from, like, Kansas to go west to go to a game. You know, like... And those fans are like, I'm out. I got to get going because I got to get home for, you know, before the sun rises for work Friday. I mean, honestly, that's when an owner sits back and goes, what the hell is going on down there? That's what I'm concerned about. They're just 2-3. And Jay Felly, if you're Raiders and the team that.
You mean your Raiders?
You know, the team that I predicted, our Raiders.
Mr. Hines. I'm here.
Yeah. It's our time. It's our time. It's our time. Hey, look, I can easily pivot and say I made the wrong call. It's his team, win or lose.
That's a good
point. So if the Raiders could shock the world and win on Monday night, Broncos country is just let's ride in a game out of first place. So we're marathoning still, but my concern is this is a long march already in September that's bleeding into October, and I don't see a way out of it. Garrett Bowles got hurt. Javonte Williams not walking through that door. Randy Gregory's out for a while. And Russ can say, let's ride all he wants, but he's got to ride it. He's got to walk it and talk it and ride it. And right now it's just a lot of talk. And in a new spot where KJ Hamlers of the world are throwing down their helmets and people are walking out of a game when it hits to overtime with their feet in a spot I've never seen that before, that's a problem. Mark Schlereth has been around that Broncos country. He's going to let's ride into this show coming up very shortly in about 5 minutes' time. LeSean McCoy is going to be chiming in as well. Our usual Friday fun of what's more likely. TJ Jefferson gives you fantasy advice from his pulpit. We've also got ourselves some sneaky good games from Chris Brockman. I'll preview some other games in week number 5. Also, that's what's more likely that Christopher Brockman's got all teed up, as I mentioned. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Let's take a break. Oh, by the way, also, Jeannie Buss, the owner of the Lakers, is here to talk about the Women of Wrestling World that she has helped put together. And she's bringing a guest with her, and we'll talk about that here on this program. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the show. We take a break. Mark Schlereth will be calling in. He's calling Vikings Bears. He's in Minnesota. He'll join us next. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. Joining us here is a man who knows all about the pressures of playing football in Denver, and or the pressures that the current Denver team feels has to be because of all the championships in part that this guy won. He's now joining us from Fox Sports in Minnesota right now. He's calling the Vikings and the Bears on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Three-time Super Bowl champ, Mark Schlereth. How you doing, Mark?
I am well. I'm doing great, yep. Rich. After watching that game, maybe the worst game in the history of the National Football League last night. Gosh, it was awful.
So, what was last night all about when you saw that?
Yeah, well, night? You know, it's so funny because we try to make this game so complicated. Like it is. Like the thing that fascinates me about football, Rich, is the juxtaposition between simplicity and complexity. You know, there's a complexity part to this game that's really fascinating from a strategy standpoint, but the bottom line is this game is simple. If you dominate the line of scrimmage, you win. And nobody could dominate the line of scrimmage, at least on the offensive side of the football. Quarterbacks under duress, it just looked ugly. And then decision-making. Like, it is so hard, I think, as a head coach sometimes, to be in complete and total control of play calling at the same time and manage a football game. And, you know, there's a point there on a third down where Russell Wilson throws an interception because he's targeting Tyreek Hill in the end zone. And, you know, I mean, Stephon Gilmore undercuts it and intercepts the ball. And the whole time I'm, like, screaming at the television going, just run the ball, kick a field goal. Like the odds of the Colts going 75 yards and scoring a touchdown, like they haven't moved it 40 yards. They can't move the football. They can't protect their quarterback. Like what are you trying to prove? This is about winning a football game, not style points. Like you don't get style points.
But I mean, if he was, and that's what's really confusing to me about the Broncos, Mark. Let's jump into this using that as a jumping off point. Is that if it was style points, then they would never have hired, you know, Jerry Rossberg to come in and sit up there and be what, the angel on the shoulder of their new head coach, Nathaniel Hackett? I mean, he would have been concerned about how that looked. He says he's fine with that, but now Rossberg comes in and then what? I mean, you call a pass to in the end zone on that part of the game where you just need to kick a field goal and get out of Dodge. But then again, you didn't expect Russell Wilson to throw the interception. Also, towards the end of that game, in the moment in overtime where the Colts call timeout and then the Broncos call timeout only to come out and then throw a pass when you could run the football. It just seems to be a complete and total mess from the operation, the execution, and now the confidence level of a guy who was on the path to the Hall of Fame when he arrived in Denver. And 5 games in, we're wondering what happened to that guy.
Yeah.
Mark?
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's perplexing. And the other thing is you get all the way down there and you've run the ball okay getting down to that position.
Right.
And now in a 4th-and-1 situation, this happened in Baltimore last week, 4th and short on the goal line, and you decide to go shotgun empty. Now, they had a back in the backfield in Denver. Baltimore went shotgun empty. But my thought process is you've already created, like, the one thing a defense wants to do, they always tell you, like, when you go into these production meetings, Rich, right, you talk to the defense coordinator.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, number one priority, stop the run. Make them one-dimensional. You go out there on a 4th-and-1, and you're out in shotgun, and you spread your offense, you make yourself one-dimensional. The defense says, oh, gosh, thanks. We appreciate that because now we don't have to play the run. Now we can eliminate that from our thought process. And so when you come into a situation, especially on the goal line, when you're a short yardage situation, Rich, and your center or your quarterback gets under center, and you've got running backs in the backfield, and that's a potential. As a defender, you have to guess because you have to sit there and say, okay, what by formation and everything that we've seen so far on film, what are they going to do? And you have to say, hey, man, I got to sell out on this run. I've got to sell out. I've got to stop this. So if you do flag play action, the odds are, you know, as a defender, especially as a linebacker, you have to play low to high, meaning you got to play the run first. You got to step up there, and then you got to fall back and scramble and try to defend the pass. when you get in a shotgun, you're like, the only thing they can do is quarterback draw. And I can play that from a deeper standpoint. So as a linebacker, instead of being 3 yards deep, all of a sudden I cheat a yard and a half or 2 yards. Now I'm covering more of the end zone, and I'm taking away the levels, because you always try to run one receiver underneath right on the goal line and one the back end line, right? Well, if I can play that in a yard and a half deeper, I've made that window for the quarterback to throw it over me into the back of the end zone. I've made it so much tougher. So I will never, ever understand why you would line up that way as an offensive play caller and eliminate something for a defense. I want every option on the table as an offensive player. Why do you do that to yourself? I don't understand.
Well, the difference between what you just laid out from the Ravens last week and what we saw last night, there's a similarity and then there's a difference. The similarity is the play call in Baltimore worked. Lamar had two wide open receivers on that fourth and goal, and he didn't hit either one because there was a rush in his face, or he didn't throw it when he should have. And, you know, and then it was the coach who got blamed. Last night, the play worked, and KJ Hamler was wide open right in front of Russ, and he didn't hit him. And Hamler, with his 37 career receptions, slams his helmet down, and I don't think I've ever seen a Seahawk receiver do that in frustration with Russell Wilson. So my question for you is, what is going on with Russ and this team already 5 games in to have this frustration be so easily flown in our faces?
Well, because, I mean, think about what they've been able to accomplish. They scored 16 points against Seattle, 16 points against Houston, 11 points against San Francisco in a victory, 23 points against the Raiders, and last night a whopping 9. There's reason. They thought they were coming in here, and they thought that this was going to be, you know, this was going to be this offensive juggernaut that we have created, and Russ and, you know, and Hackett, and the way it's going to work, and it has been anything but. And, you know, and you're right about, you know, the play calling. The other difference is it was like 4th and 4 in Baltimore, right? And they went empty. It was 4th and 1 in Denver. But I will say this, from a play design standpoint, so number one, you get the man-to-man tell right off the bat, right?
Yeah.
And you run a pick route on Hamler's side, so Hamler gets wide open. But you're running something in the West Coast offense they call halfback burst. Meaning the halfback who is on the right hand or the left hand side of Russell goes through the B gap and then he comes across the field. So Russell, all he has to do is hold the safety, right? You hold the safety, that's going to come wide open. That's why he's looking to the left initially, holding the safety. When he peeks back over to the right to throw it to Hamler, that halfback burst created interference, body presence. So he had to wait for the second window to open. So Hamler had to go like where he wanted to hit him. All of a sudden, the running back getting over there. So from a play design standpoint, that play sucks from a play design standpoint because your own guy created interference. So you had to hold the ball for a second and throw it to the second window, which was the back of the end zone. And by the time you held the ball, you know, people just start flowing that way because now you hold the ball and you have to look. And your eyes take everybody over there, including Cortland Sutton. That ball was not meant for Cortland Sutton.
Yeah, I know.
That ball was meant for KJ Hamler.
Yeah, it sure was.
And Cortland was like, let me go make a play. Like, the design of that play sucked. you created your own defenders. So, yeah, Rich, I wish I could sit here and tell you, hey, it's an easy fix. But, you know, when things aren't going well, and you start guessing or second-guessing yourself, and you start losing confidence. That was the most humbled Russell Wilson in his press conference I think I've ever seen.
He still said
it wasn't defeated,
right?
But it was certainly, oh, gosh.
He still finished with Broncos country, let's ride. And it just rings hollow. There's just no other way to put it, you know, because nobody is – you know, needs to be rallied, right, at this point in time, other than the guys in the locker room, because the fans are they walked out of a tie game in overtime. Like, we don't need to see the rest of it. I've never in my 20 years seen that with the NFL, Mark, where fans are voting with their feet to beat the traffic in a game that's going to overtime. I've never seen anything like that. So when you ask, like, what is the fix? They are just 2-3. That's the good news, right? They're just 2-3. But it's another nationally televised game next week. And I ask you, and I know you're in Minnesota, and I'll hit you on that game in a second. What is the sense in Denver that you think? Is there a hot seat for a first-year head coach? Is there potentially one? Because they're not getting rid of the guy with the $245 million contract. That's for damn sure.
You're 100% right. And last week, Rich, now I was in New York last week hosting, you know, doing some TV work for FS1. But, you know, kept in touch with all my guys on the radio station there in Denver. And the big scuttlebutt is Sean Payton ready to come back? Would he come back to Denver? Would he leave TV? Because, you know, the big speculation was he was waiting for the Dallas job to open. But would he come to Denver? Like, that's what people are speculating now. Like, that the hot seat, legitimately, after five games, they're like, Nathaniel Hackett isn't the right guy. What are we going to do? And, I've never seen anything like it. I'm with you. When I saw people shuffling out of the state, like, were they announcing that they're going to get refunded tickets? If you leave now, you can get your ticket refunded? Like, what? I've never seen anything like this. Is Denver, Colorado. Like, people are rabid about the Broncos. I can't even fathom what happened. What I witnessed last night was something I've never witnessed before.
Mark Schlereth here on the Rich Eisen Show. And as I said to open the show, anybody was losing that game when everyone was sitting through it and, you know, sticking through it, whether they're a diehard fan of the sport or it's fantasy or gambling purposes or whatever. Whoever was losing that game was going to get savaged. Colts would have gotten savaged, too, if they had dropped that game because they looked terrible. What is with that offensive line? What happened to what we thought was going to be Ryan's savings, Ryan's career, end of his career, that he's finally playing behind a terrific offensive line. They've been terrible.
Awful. I mean, what happened? Awful. And Quentin Nelson's been, you know, arguably the best guard in football the last several years.
Right.
He doesn't look the same. You know, they lost Ryan Kelly in the game last night, but none of them have looked good. And they've done nothing well. They haven't been able to run the ball. Their combination blocks have been horrible. They haven't gotten movement. They can't pass protect. Simple games, Rich, like simple day one, like, hey, man, they're running tackle or tackle end. And it's like they've never seen it before. Walk-up linebacker walks up, and it's like they bust it and can't pick it up. They're like simple things that they're not doing. And then last night they had three-fifths of the offensive line shuffled positions. They had the rookie left tackle in, came in there, then they moved their left tackle to right tackle, and they switched out their right tackle and moved him into right guard. And, like, that was going to fix the issues. Like, you just created three more issues. You know what that's like, Rich? That's like leaving the United States on vacation and going to Europe and having to drive on the other side of the road. It's very uncomfortable, and you have to constantly think. There's no reaction. It's all thinking. And when you think, it makes you a step slow. And then you put in Denver and crowd noise and everything else. They couldn't block anything. Now, you may not crash, but you certainly are not going to feel comfortable. But if you're out on European vacation for a week, you'll never feel comfortable when you get behind the wheel, ever. And that was what that game was last night. But that's been consistent. That's been their whole, like, all season long. They've been awful up front.
It's been terrible. I know. But, hey, they're 2-2-1 this league, man. This league, they're 2-2-1.
Crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, they have the same number of wins as the other teams that are in first place in the division. In Jacksonville, who they're playing next week. Jacksonville, however, has a game against Houston coming up, and then the Tennessee Titans have two, and they're going to visit Carson Wentz. One would think that that should go in the Titans' favor. A few minutes left here with Mark Schlereth from Minnesota Vikings and Bears on Fox. The best team you've seen so far through 4 weeks of calling games is which one? Mark Schlereth.
Philadelphia.
Okay. You didn't stutter? Go for it. What did you see?
Well, like some teams, Rich, are big and strong. Some teams are fast and athletic. Philadelphia is big, strong, fast, and athletic. That's a problem. Like, it's a real problem. When you game plan, like as a coach, you game plan for a defense, right? You're always looking at, hey, who can hurt us as a defensive lineman? How are we going to mitigate that particular individual? You know, you line up against the San Francisco 49ers, Nick Bosa. Okay, how are we going to stop Nick Bosa? Like, that's a problem over there, right? So we got to figure that out. Like, you look at Philadelphia, they have those guys. Fletcher Cox, the problem. Javon Hargrave, that's an issue. He's a tough guy to defend. You know, Hassan Reddick, when he decides that he's not going to play linebacker but D-end, that's an issue. Brandon Graham's come back from Michigan, your alma mater. Dude is not a good football player. At 13 years, he's a great football player still coming off the Achilles. So that's an issue. And then the other thing you look at is outside. Who can we attack corner-wise? Well, I would argue with you right now that the tandem, the two best corners in football as a tandem, are Darius Slay and James Bradbury. Like, those guys are legit. So there's no real weaknesses there with that defense. And offensively, they can – I mean, what kind of game do you want to get into when it comes to running the football? Do you want us to bludgeon you because we're big and strong and we can bludgeon you? Or do you want us to outmaneuver you and get to the edge because we're super fast and athletic as well? Like, that's a real problem. So they present those problems. The one question mark was their quarterback. Well, you know, talking to Nick Sirianni, their head coach, I said, well, what's, you know, Jalen Hurts, what's the ceiling? He goes, Mark, I don't know. I don't know what a ceiling is, because every day he comes in and every day he gets better than the last day. The dude is like a CEO. He's like a complete businessman. You can't even get him to crack a smile in a meeting. That guy is so focused. Like, I just think they're really a really good football team.
Mark Schlereth, before I let you go, man, again, you're a three-time champ. Know the Denver sports scene and the Broncos scene very well. Know the front office. Know up until, you know, recently, I guess, ownership pretty well as well. Crystal ball it for me. I know that's a cliche. You don't have a crystal ball. But Denver has another game, standalone game, whole country watching, Monday Night Football next week at the Chargers, and then home dates, two home dates against the Jets and the Jaguars. One would think, quote-unquote, winnable game, but you've got the Jets, you've got, and then Jacksonville is going to be another game. That's in London, so another standalone game, my bad. So you got the Jets and then a London game and then a bye. Then you got the rest of the season. What do you think is going to happen? Give me your best guess as to what can happen for the Chargers this year. What do you think? This year.
Yeah. Sorry. No, I knew what you were saying.
Yeah, my bad.
I think right now, listen, you got this. You mentioned it Monday night. If things don't look markedly better Monday night, I don't know what's going to – I really don't know what's going to happen. I mean – they have, you know, the guy they wanted, Billy Turner at the right tackle, he has not even played this year. You got a backup right tackle. Now your Bowles, who's your left tackle, is out with a broken leg. So you're going to have a backup left tackle. You haven't blocked people. Melvin Gordon puts the ball on the ground more than grass. You don't trust him. You lost Javonte Williams. You haven't developed chemistry with any of your wide receivers other than Cortland Sutton. You don't have a tight end who is got a dual threat personality. So you've got a couple guys that can run block. You got a couple guys that are pass receivers. So they're automatic tells. Rich, I don't, like, right now, I don't see an end in sight. I don't, like, those are real issues that you don't figure out because, you know, you change the play caller or you have a couple new designs. Like, those are real issues that I just don't see them fixing. And let me just tell you, you think the Jets are a winnable game?
Oh, no.
Playing better. And I tell you one thing, Jacksonville is one of those teams that I don't think a lot of people want to play. That's a physical football team. So, like, they're in trouble right now. If things don't dramatically get better, and I don't see how they will, they're in trouble.
Especially in London. I've called Jacksonville games in London. That's a home game for the Jaguars. It is. Yeah. It's in Wembley. I mean, the owner owns the stadium. I mean, it really does bode poorly. And I just said the Jets, one would think, is a winnable game. I think the Jets have a better offense than Denver's right now, period. They have better playmakers right now, making better plays. I never thought I would say that about Russell Wilson in an offense, but I again, just two touchdowns through the first three home games for Broncos fans to see, just two, and only one of them's in the air, one of them's on the ground.
Right.
And so I don't know, and we'll find out, I guess, if the Walton family's got an itchy, you know, firing trigger. Yeah, I don't know.
Hey, They could have scored so far this season in the red zone 98 points. I think they've scored just over 30.
Wow.
That's where they are right now. And I'll tell you this. If you said, hey, man, I'll trade you all the Broncos receivers straight up for all the Jets receivers, I couldn't line up quick enough to make that trade.
Mark Schlereth, thanks for the time. Look forward to your call with the Vikings and Bears, and look for more of my phone calls. Always appreciate it when you're on the show, brother.
Anytime, Rich.
Thanks, buddy. That's Mark Schlereth of Fox Sports right here on the Rich Eisen Show. This NFL season, every Westwood One NFL broadcast streams live for free Mondays, Thursdays, Sunday nights, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. Triple headers, the international series, and every postseason game. Hey, Broncos fans, you might not be feeling so great about your team, but at least one of your star players didn't sucker punch another, and then somebody leaked the video from practice.
Man.
We'll hit that. That's next right here on this edition of the Rich Eisen Show before LaShawn McCoy stops by, and the same with Jeannie Buss and David McLean of Wow Women of Wrestling. That's coming up. Audible, folks. The Rich Eisen Show is on Audible. Greatest audio entertainment is on Audible. So is the latest and greatest. Everything you want to hear with podcasts, audiobooks, exclusive originals, comedy, sports stories, deep dives with athletes and entertainers, business, and anything else that you're into. With Audible, you get access to thousands of included titles with more added every week. Listen on the road, at the gym, or anywhere you want to fuel up your imagination. Join and get 30 days free at the home of storytelling, audible.com. It was right around this time last year that I was thinking to myself, maybe the Warriors can go on a nice little run. Literally was thinking that. And as you know, on this program, I predicted the Warriors would win.
You did?
The NBA championship. Said that they would beat the Nets. Was way off on that one. But said the Warriors are going to win. And it was right around now, I just thought, you know, Klay's coming back. Steph, you know, this, that. Still Draymond and Steph and Klay's now back. And you know, I just thought Andrew Wiggins, it was around this time last year, I wonder if Wiggins was going to get vaccinated,
yeah,
right? I mean, that was the big to-do.
Big storyline, yeah.
Wiggins. Didn't see Jordan Poole coming, be very honest. He turned out to be such a crucial member of that team when Klay was out and then getting up to speed. And then he's a scorer. Something's up with him and Draymond Green, that's for sure. And we're not supposed to know this. This stuff's supposed to be in-house. And it certainly was kept in-house. The it being a piece of video that TMZ has acquired, which means they bought it. Somebody just made a nice, pretty penny.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the mole hunt is on. A little No Way Out sequel's going on right now in Warriors country. Let's ride. But, you know, the video is all over Twitter and all over social media, as it's known. And it's a practice where you could see that Draymond right around the arc and three-point arc. And then Jordan Poole on the baseline, somewhat underneath the basket. You could see they're kind of getting closer and closer and definitely chirping at each other, it seems.
Draymond's coming closer.
Draymond was doing a lot of talking.
No. Poole was just standing there, and then Draymond's getting closer. That's correct. Yeah. That's a very important, I think.
Yeah. Draymond
walked over.
Note, but they're chirping at each other, and then Draymond got in his face like forehead to forehead in the face, and Jordan Poole shoved him off, and then that's when a huge haymaker right put Poole right down on the ground.
Superman
do we
punch.
Know when this video is from?
It's from within the last week.
Yeah, it just happened.
Did Poole have to, did he break his jaw? I mean, that's one of those things where we don't know.
To take
a right hand from Draymond Green like that, unprotected, right to the face, he went down
when
like a ton of bricks.
Either. I mean, you know, of course there's comments on social media.
But it's a sucker punch or whatever. What are you going to do? You shoved away Draymond.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to put your hand, you're not supposed to punch out your teammate.
Yeah. If you're in the street, that's a completely different story. You're in practice, man. And people are like, well, if someone pushes you, what do you expect? If a man gets up in your face in practice and you're friends and you give him a little shove off, you're not expecting, punches to fly, right, Chris? Like, we're at practice. Yeah, we're teammates. We're not in the alley, you know, after 2 a.m., you know, after we left the bar. Like, that's ridiculous.
And there's some media reports out there. I know Chris Haynes had something that was kind of like almost weirdly defending it. Like, oh, reports are Jordan Poole has had an attitude all preseason because he wants an extension. Well, yeah, of course he wants an extension. He is awesome. He balled out. He's arguably your second best player right now. So, well, I don't blame him one bit for wanting his money.
Green is not with the team today. He expects to return Saturday, according to Steve Kerr. Bob Myers, the GM, says that Draymond has apologized to the team. Apparently, this happened a couple of days ago. Practice, pool practice Thursday. Green didn't.
Okay, that's good.
I don't know,
apologize to the team this morning, says Bob Myers. Jordan was there in the room. I was there in the room with the team, the coaches, the players, and we heard that. They're going to handle discipline internally. Curry said, JP's been great. There's nothing that warranted the situation yesterday. And added that one of Green's superpowers is bringing his fire, competitiveness, and voice. Not his fist.
Not yet,
hey, look, here's the deal. If they say that they're going to be able to put this thing to bed and go play basketball, that looks to be what's happening.
Couldn't be me, man. There's just no way you can.
They're going to put this aside and try and play basketball. That's the background here.
This is much different than just like a verbal confrontation between Draymond and Kevin Durant, right? This is a lot. This is big time different situation.
I mean, he's a much younger player and
a guy on the rise, a guy who doesn't want to leave. He wants a max to stay. He's kind of the cornerstone of your future if you want to keep this dynasty going, which I'm sure Steph Curry does.
I just think you're going to see one of those Jordan Poole threes and Draymond Green dapping him up and see what happens. And if there's anybody who knows how to handle this stuff, it's a coach who's taken a punch from Michael Jordan. I'm serious. Like Kerr.
I totally get it.
I mean, they got a right guy for the job here, right?
Yeah.
You know what? I might be okay with taking a punch from Michael Jordan because I know we're going to get a ring when it's all said and done.
Well, but, I mean, Draymond's the guy who's going to help you get a ring, don't you think?
Not Michael by getting Jordan. Buckets. Or
not
anything.
A ring in your ear, though. I mean, a ring in your head. Wow. That's a backdrop of the Warriors season. Championship defense.
That video is wild.
Yeah, first of all, you hate to see it. It was just... We don't know what was said.
Nope.
There's no audio.
We don't know what went on before that. I mean, it's about a 40-second clip.
Well, they're going to keep it internally. And I guess, doesn't Draymond do his own podcast? He'll address it.
I'm sure that he will.
Yeah. I mean, he'll address it and make sure that you tune into it.
And he's going to make sure you know his version. I mean, what they should do is he should have Jordan Poole on the podcast, and then they can hash it out.
Why don't they've got to suspend him, right? I mean, that's the discipline. They've got to sit him down for a game.
But isn't this weirdly an Aaron Donald situation? What, are you going to suspend him for the home opener where you get the rings and the banner?
Oh, boy.
It's like hockey. In hockey, you have a beer and move on.
But hockey fighting is an accepted part of the culture.
Yeah. Same thing.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
it strikes me as an Aaron Donald situation where it's over now.
Don't you think Kerr will be able to handle this like that? You got the right guy for the job?
The number of times
Kerr must sit in his office, close the door, and just shake his head and go, man, this league.
I don't know, Rich. I can't get over that one, though, dog. Like, you can't.
Dude, he lived through the last dance. I mean,
I know.
This stuff that's going on right now, you think like this is something that he's not prepared for or hasn't seen before?
I don't know anyone can prepare for that, though. I mean, you don't see this in basketball. I don't know about it.
The mole hunt is on. Who is Jury?
I mean, I hope it was worth it. I hope they got five figures.
Yeah, right.
Rent is expensive in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Ross Matthews talks to celebrities, friends, and people with interesting stories to tell. Who's saying hello, Ross, this week? Chelsea Handler.
I'm not home enough to have a third dog. My housekeeper basically is their parent. I'm not going to get another dog so that she has to take care of another dog until one of these dogs exits.
It's a good move. I have three rescue dogs and only two hands. And when you're one person, that's too hard to do. I recommend two max, okay?
Use your foot, Ross.
Hello, Ross. Available on YouTube or wherever you listen.